muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bactiguard Q3 Report 2018. Today, I am pleased to present CFO Cecilia Edström and CEO Christian Kinch. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christian Kinch, CEO of Bactiguard. Welcome to our Q3 report for 2018. I will be referring to the presentation that you will find on our website under Investor Relations and then Presentations. Let's turn to the second page and the financial highlights of the quarter. I think the summarizing word is stable growth following a very strong second quarter. If we look for the Q3 revenues, they came in somewhat higher than last year, some 35.7 million SEK. This is mainly due to that our underlying license revenue were somewhat higher than last year, and that's mainly driven by that Becton Dickinson is back on track, and we're seeing a very strong underlying growth in their sales. After, though, presenting the Q2 report to you some months ago, we had a very strong BIP revenue coming in at all-time high. Given that, we're not surprisingly seeing a somewhat lower numbers for the quarter, coming in at 4 million compared to 5 million for last year. I think it's more important that we constantly focus on the full year here, and when we look at year-to-date revenues for BIP, we see that we're still up some 80% for the first nine months. We will constantly see somewhat lumpiness in between the quarters, and that's also why I urge you to follow us on a longer-term base here. That is all in all very promising. The EBITDA margin, as we are now mainly focusing on, came in more or less in line with last year, somewhat lower at some 7.9 million SEK, but giving us an EBITDA margin of 22% versus 24% last year. As I will come back to in the longer perspective, we are aiming for a 30% EBITDA margin. Net profit is still negative, and this is not surprisingly at all, since you are aware that we do take a depreciation of almost 6 million SEK each quarter for the technology, and this is a non-cash flow position for us. Here I would like to remind you all that the value of our technology is not decreasing, it's actually increasing. The operating cash flow was okay for the quarter. Let's turn to some operational highlights. Next page, please. I'm happy to announce that we took another two tenders in Sweden, and most importantly is that we took our first tender for the CVC, the central venous catheter. This is bloodstream catheters. I will come back to this later on. Thereby, we have also now decided to accelerate our sales strategy for Scandinavia, and we did enter into an agreement with Mediplast. This gives us access to, instead of having two sales reps, more or less aiming for a 30 manpower strong sales force in the market. We will also be addressing Norway and Denmark through this collaboration. The partnership that we entered just before end of Q2 with Welit in China is moving ahead at a high pace. I will come back to that a little bit later. Happy also to finally see a new breakthrough in the Middle East region when we finally had our approval in Egypt in place. This gives us access to the biggest market in the Middle East region. Another good and strong notion, I think, for Bactiguard is that we are now considered one of the top 20 most equal companies on the Swedish stock market, and that is something that is completely natural, but it's of course very happy for us that this is acknowledged in the market. We also welcome two new institutional shareholders in the quarter. That is Nordea Småbolagsfonder and Fjärde AP-fonden. Come back to that as well.
Let's move to an outlook to the world. As some of you might have seen this morning, the threat of antibiotic resistance is with us every single day. Just in EU alone, some 30,000 people are dying due to the cause of antibiotic resistance every year. In Sweden, we had an older man affected by sepsis just recently now in Gävle Sjukhus. This is very unacceptable, but we are happy to see also that we will be one small but important part of a solution to actually address this growing problem. As I said, we just had our central venous catheter on the tender in Skåne. Let's say the overall demand from the global arena is as strong, if not actually stronger from our perspective. Let's turn to the next page. I'm sure that some of you have been very much affected with what's been happening in the healthcare sector, and therefore we decided to give you some very overview comments of the development over the last time. As you see here, the word that is coming back over and over is FDA. When we are discussing med tech, pharma, life science, regulatory authorities have a very strong impact on our business. Quality and the care for humans and the patients always has to be number one. I'm not, please, forgive me, I'm not saying that some of my colleague companies are not doing this, but as we've seen, FDA had a very strong impact on Getinge for quality issues. This has been hitting them with almost 2 billion SEK going forward. The same came out for Boule Diagnostics. It has also been positive on the other notion to see how very much FDA affected Hansa Medical for their enzyme that enables kidney transplantation, getting the approval there. It is both positive and negative, but you have to deal with it. This is something that is our everyday world, but I want to invite you to it. Convatec and Medivir is not to be mistaken for what has happened there, but let's say there has been some quality and logistics problem and some CEO changes. All in all, I want to draw your attention to the last bullet, and that is we have been in the U.S. market since 1995. We have now treated almost 180 million patients. We have zero, and I reiterate, we have zero adverse events reported in the U.S. market since we launched. On top of that, we have one of the highest quality partners and producers that you could really ask for, and that is Becton Dickinson, driving now all processes towards the FDA. That is very reassuring when you're addressing the most important market in the world. Let's move on to the next page. I'm now on the AllBright report October. Still, we are living in a diversified world. This is just like having wheels on your car. It is very straightforward and nothing that we find very different or difficult in fact. Of course, we are happy to be considered the 21st most equal company on the Swedish stock market. Yes, we have 50% women in the management team, and I'm just saying, why shouldn't we have? Two out of five on the board is females, because that also makes perfect sense. We now also added to our nomination committee or Valberedningen, the chairman is also a lady, and she's not there because she's a lady. She's there because she's very competent. This is just normal to us. Another thing that we are also very proud of is that we are living in an international environment. We are active in 40 countries. We still have some work to do, but we are already 17 nationalities on board of Bactiguard. This makes me happy and proud, but it's not something that is unique for us. This should be standard for everybody. Let's move to the next page. Looking at the shareholder base, I am very happy for myself and my partner, Thomas von Koch,
that we have diversified the ownership in Bactiguard. As I said earlier, we invited Nordea, Småbolagsfonder, in with some 9% of the capital. We also had Fjärde AP-fonden, Per Collén, coming in with some 8%. We have also Handelsbanken at some almost 5%. And then our chairman, Jan Ståhlberg, of almost 9%. This is not supposed to be interpreted like me nor Thomas are leaving the company. On the contrary, I think you will see a very stable foundation in between us, and we together control more than 69% of the votes. But this has been very intentional. We wanted to broaden the shareholder base and increase the free float in the share. Let's turn to the next page. Some quick market updates, and let's turn all the way to the east in China. I would like to emphasize that we are not affected at all by the ongoing trade war in between Xi Jinping and Donald Trump in the U.S. On the contrary, we are seeing a very strong and high activity in the Chinese market with our new partner, Huali. We are extremely happy and proud of them. And they took a very strong delivery in Q2, and I'm looking forward to a very strong delivery to them before the year end as well. They are gearing up activities, and we are supporting them as such. India, I'm also happy to see that the door to the ICUs is opening up quite fast with our CDCs. We've done several seminars, training activities at major hospitals, and we're also finalizing a very strong clinical trial in India. So it's looking to be a good closure for the year. The Middle East, I mentioned that we finally had the key to the Egyptian market, so activities are now in full process to speed them up. The region overall is strong for the quarter and is also one of the top regions for the year. Europe-wise, I said that we're proud over the CVC tender in Sweden. We now have a very strong foothold in Sweden tender-wise, and therefore we have also geared up with getting the pace going together with Mediplus to really make a footprint in the Swedish market. The same goes for Germany, where activities are ongoing with our new partner, Assibons, and we're looking very, very promising for the year end. Let's turn to the next page. This is just a reminder to you all that we are now in tender specs for almost 70% of the population in Sweden regarding our Foley catheter. That's the urinary tract catheter. But already for the bloodstream catheter, the central venous catheter, some 13% of the Swedish population can now have it when they undergo surgery and such. And we are meeting this strong tender demand with some new 30 sales reps together with Mediplus, and that will give us the foothold in Sweden that we need. Let's turn to the next page. License business, still the biggest revenue stream for us. BD, Becton Dickinson, after the acquisition of C.R. Bard, we're having a very good and stable annual revenues coming from this collaboration. And we are also establishing now good new relations to the new management of BD, and we are meeting them accordingly. Regarding the newest or the latest area we are entering into, trauma implants, we are now concluding the CE process, and we are going in waiting mode here for getting this CE mark out of UDEM in Turkey. This will be a very important milestone for us since this is opening up the potential of a market that is way bigger than the current market size of our all three products. So this will be something that we are strongly awaiting, and we will inform you accordingly. Smart-wise, some of you may have seen that Pascal Soreau was interviewed just the other day in a Swedish newspaper about his ambition going forward, and he wants to try to turn cancer from a lethal disease into a chronic disease. And maybe, just maybe, SmartWise could be a small part in that by distributing chemo in a new way straight to tumors. We mentioned our new Chinese partner. We took an initial revenue of some 30 million SEK.
10 of these were actually going into the license agreement. So we are now focusing on the CVCs and ETT to get them in process for a regulatory approval within the future. On top of this, so you don't get the wrong impression, we are driving several license discussions, and we are still maintaining our ambition of closing 1 to 2 license deals per year in the coming 3 years. So, turning into my last page, the business model, you do remember that we are seeing 2 revenue streams, the license deals, where we actually supply our coating in liquid form, incorporating this into the production processes of BD and companies as such. This is still the main revenue stream for us. But then we have the big portfolio, the Bactiguard infection protection portfolio, now consisting of Foleys, urinary tract, ETTs being respiratory, and CVCs being bloodstream. And this is where we are really seeing our strong sales going forward. With those words, I would like to hand over to Cecilia for some of the details of the quarter. Please, Cecilia.
Thank you, Christian. I'm now on the page which says the financial highlights at the top. So Christian has already commented on developments in the third quarter, but I think it's worth repeating that Q3 is, if you look seasonality-wise, our weakest quarter, given that it's the holiday period in big parts of the world and activity, B2B activity tends to be a little slower. And this quarter also following on the very, very strong Q2 was a little bit calmer. Still, revenues were up 3%. As Christian mentioned, we did generate some new license revenue, the ambition being adding 1 to 2 license deals every year to drive our overall growth target of 20%. We entered into new agreement in Q2 this year and took initial revenues then of 5 million out of a total of 10. This quarter we've taken 3 million, and that's because the progress we've made in the project has been faster than we expected. So we still have 2 million of initial license revenues from Walid to go, and that we will take during the collaboration period, which will run at the longest until the mid of next year. For BIS sales, we came in at about 4 million. You can say that those markets which have been contributing are the Middle East and Africa, Middle East essentially, Europe, India, and Sweden. Sweden is doing well on the back of the tenders, but we had no deliveries to China in Q3, given the major delivery we made in Q2.
Sorry, they can't hear us.
Okay. I've heard that there is something wrong with the sound.
Since how long?
Operator, can you come online, please? As there seems to be some problem with the sound. Operator? Apparently, the other people on the line hear us, so there may be a problem with the connection with the operator. So I will just continue then. Everything okay? All right. So repeating again, the markets which contributed in the quarter were the Middle East, Europe, India, and also Sweden on the back of the tenders. EBITDA came in almost at par with last year at 8 million, 7.9 in fact, with a 22% margin. If you look at the year-to-date numbers, our revenues have increased by 8% and BIPs is of an impressive, I believe, 80%, which we are proud of, and that's very much driven by China and India, but also by an improved product mix where the high-value products, the CVCs, are taking a bigger portion of the total. License revenues have from BD have been slightly lower than last year, but you know that these we are catching up now as the volumes tend to vary between quarters, but the underlying business is very stable, which we can see from the royalty payments, which are mirroring actual customer demand. So the main reason for the slightly lower EBITDA in the quarter is that costs of raw materials have also gone up because the value of the product mix is also higher, and we've made deliberate investments into sales and marketing. If you look at the year-to-date numbers, I just want to remind you that we took one-off costs of 11.5 million Swedish in the second quarter in compensation for the investments our previous distributor for China has made, and we believe that that was a fair and just investment, but it will affect our EBITDA over the year. So if we exclude these one-off costs, our EBITDA and the margin were actually at par with 2017. Let's turn to the next page, which says revenue and EBITDA for the last 12 months. So to try and balance out the swings between different quarters, we are also looking now at what the developments look in the past 12 months. We have actually increased our revenues by 11%. And here I want to remind you also that we did strike a very profitable deal with Smartwise last year, which made those profits very strong. And the margin for our license business is considerably higher than that of our bit sales. In fact, it's comparable to software companies, so we're looking at very, very high margins that flow straight through. And that will, of course, also be the fact for new license revenues coming on board. So the development is mainly driven by strong growth in BIP sales, which are up almost 70%. And the EBITDA is, as you can see, somewhat lower than the last period. And that is for the reason that the margin, as I mentioned, gross margin for our BIP products is lower than for the license business, and also hit by the fact that we took the one-off costs for the early termination of China. Quickly moving on to BIP revenues, you can see that yes, deliveries in the quarter were low, as they were relatively low last year because of the summer period. But if you look at the aggregate numbers, we're well above now full year 2017 numbers and the growth of 80% year to date. Next page, development in revenue again, repeating that message, but you can see that the uptake in Q2 was very strong, which means that we now have somewhat flatter development in Q3. But we expect that then to take off in the following quarters. And just to remind you of where we are in terms of China, the initial revenue from China will be 30 million Swedish. In Q2, we took 5 million in license revenue, and we took almost 10 million in VIP sales revenue. So we still have another 12 million to go out of that initial commitment. Moving on to revenue distribution, you could see that the big green slice that's related to license revenues from BD, it is decreasing in terms of percentage of the whole from 69, almost 70% last year to 61% this year. Not because the revenue is decreasing, but we're reducing our dependence on BD by increasing BIP sales, but also by adding new license revenues. Last year, you could see that the Smartwise deal did contribute more than the Welly, but we still are very proud of the agreement that we signed with WellLead earlier this year. And other revenues, just a very small comment on that. In the quarter, we had a little other revenues. In Q2, we had quite a lot of other revenues, which were essentially related to the termination with Janan and more from technical accounting purposes. So that was a bit of a one-off factor, but this quarter it's very much less so. Moving on to cash flow and liquidity. You saw that we had a positive operating cash flow in Q3, and we now have a net cash position of 8.4 million Swedish. But with the overdraft facility we have liquidity of almost 40 million Swedish. So we had a build-up of inventory and receivables at the beginning of the year, which pushed our liquidity down somewhat and our cash flow. But now we are catching up and seeing a much more healthy cash flow, which gives us room for flexibility. And with that, I'll hand back to Christian to go through the financial targets and concluding remarks.
Thank you, Cecilia. So, turning to the next page, as we have said before, we are still driving the growth plan according to our financial targets. That's aiming to grow 20% year on year to 2020. By then, we also aim to reach the EBITDA margin of some 30%, and we are very much on track for this. And in due time, as we said before, we'll be very happy to start doing our dividend policy more available to you. So let's turn to the next page and summarizing. So concluding the quarter, I still end by saying what I said in the start. It's been to us a very strong sign that we are still in a stable growth position. We had a fantastic Q2 and we are still on track for our overall year goals. This gives me great pleasure. And I'm also happy to see that we're coming in strong, both from the license business, that is from our strong partner, Becton Dickinson. But more importantly is that we are seeing the very strong pace in the BIP portfolio, and we are now up some 80% for the first 9 months. This gives us a strong profitability looking at the result EBITDA, and we are a good 22% for the quarter, and for the full year it's looking very, very promising. So let's say the solid platform for growth is definitely there. I would like to remind you also that we keep focusing extremely strong with the regulatory authorities, and in our particular case, this goes to UDEM in Turkey for the approval of our trauma implants. So I say that it's been an okay quarter for us, and we are on our pace for the full year. And the full year, we will come back to you on 7th of February and discuss. So then we just turn to the last page and just repeat our everyday vision. We come in every single day in order to save lives. That makes Bactiguard a fantastic place to be. We do so by driving down infections in the healthcare sector. When we get less infections, we also get shorter stay of patients. We can drive down cost for healthcare states all over the world. And by reducing infections, we also reduce the use, which is extremely important, of antibiotics. This is critical on a worldwide basis. And by doing so, we actually lower the complications leading to death, and thereby we can save lives. With those words, I thank you all for listening, and I hand back to you, operator, for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. We'll have a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Richard Catch from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi there, Richard Koch, SEB. My first question is on the BIP sales. How much sales to China did you have in Q3 and Q4 last year, so that we can understand the base of the growth in BIP sales excluding China?
In Q3, we had about... let's see, we had about 1 million euro, I think, in Q3. We made a big delivery. I cannot, off the top of my head, remember exactly what it was in Q2, but I'll have to come back on to that for you. But, yeah, I don't think we made any deliveries to China in Q2 of last year, but in
there were none. There were none. So, it was only in Q3.
Sorry, I don't understand. You said 1 million euro? Do you mean Swedish krona? Or last year you reported 5.2 million Swedish krona of BIP sales. So out of that, since you're now seeing a sharp decline... When
Sorry. 3 million Swedish. 3 million Swedish, yeah. I was doing the math wrong. 3 million Swedish in Q3 of last year.
Mm. Okay. And in Q4... somewhat similar level, or?
Yes, there was another delivery of similar size in Q4 last year.
Okay. And when you, staying in China then, when you talk about the regulatory approval process going faster than you expected, could you give some more details or examples of how that is going faster and what made you book then these 3 million of the remaining 5 already in Q3, since you previously expected to distribute that over 4 quarters?
Yeah, the license fee is split up in two parts. One is related to the exclusive use of our technology for that application, and that is what we booked in the Q2. Then the other half is related to certain deliverables or milestones in the project. And so far they have been mainly internal. They have been preparing various files that you need for the application to the Chinese FDA. And there's certain milestones linked. And that work has progressed faster than we expected. They've made themselves available at very short notice, so we've been able to work together on that project. And there's some other things that need to be added, and we will book the remaining 2 million as and when those milestones happen. It's a little bit difficult to predict exactly when they will come in, but we are working very closely on it.
Okay. Looking at the gross margin, you had the COGS in this quarter was about 4.6 million for the 3.9 million BIP sales. Could you talk a bit more about the dynamics of that gross profit, excluding the license income? I understand that you might have some small costs related to the licensing income, but I guess that's very minor.
Sorry, repeat the last thing you said again.
I guess that your costs for the licensing income is very small.
Yes, in relation to the new license revenues is small. It's labor and various things that come into the labor. But what happened in the quarter is that the percentage of CVCs, for example, is changing. So we have more. They actually generate more revenue, but they are also more costly to buy because it's a more complex product, and that's how it happens. And in addition to that, we have also invested in sales and marketing. We have Jonas Østergaard, our VP sales, on board. We've also invested in various projects, which is deliberate, and that is also driving the gross margin down a little bit. But I can't give you full details of what the gross margin looks like for each of the products, but it will improve as volumes go up.
Okay, and minor detail, but still, what led the 10% lower depreciation in the quarter, and is this the new level for the next few quarters?
Yes, it will be. It will be the same. You can see that the technology remains the same, and that's a flat depreciation on the technology, which is stable. And other than that, our Malaysian site has been depreciated, so that is taking the overall level down a little bit.
Okay. And regarding depreciation and investments, if you're going to be able to sort of meet the demand that you're seeing now from all the tenders you won, et cetera, do you need to invest a lot in production of your BIP products, or do you feel that you have enough capacity?
No, you've seen our facility at the south the suburbs of Stockholm, and we've made quite significant investments in this facility, and those are behind us. So we don't expect that we will have to make any substantial investments in the years to come. Our Malaysian site also has capacity to produce the Foleys that we need.
Okay, thanks. That's all for me now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There will be a further pause while questions are being registered. As there are no questions registered, I'll hand the call back to you, speakers. Please go ahead.
So, thank you much, very much for that. And so, all in all again, thank you all for listening today to our Q3 report. We are reiterating that we see it as a very stable sign of our ongoing growth for the full year, that we follow up a very strong Q2 with a very acceptable Q3. We are looking very, very positive going into Q4 and closing 2018 in a very positive way. So with those words, I thank you all for listening, and I look forward to talking to all of you 7th of February 2019. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.